our final speaker, I just want to reiterate what I've said before, that John Bush has been a huge inspiration on me over the years, and we work so well together because we butt heads constantly. Now, that's just one of the added benefits of it. But the thing about John and I and just the collaboration, I'll say, like I mentioned earlier, the first time John and I met was in New York City for 9/11 when I connected with Danny Penzella as well. And it was the first time I had any kind of radio show or anything. And I went to New York and I'm just interviewing people with my little phone outside. And John was one of the people willing to do that. And he's telling me all about volunteerism and he's introducing me to a lot of these ideas. And then we ended up having him come down to Houston to speak at the Federal Reserve March that I mentioned. And again, I'm going to mention it. Houston and the Fed, 2011, John Bush, find that speech. You will be inspired. You'll see what inspired me. And ever since then, we've been collaborating. We've had the pleasure of, as John said, being listed together in government documents for talking about freedom cells. That's always fun. But overall, I know that we both have this vision of creating a better world and creating this alternative network. And honestly, I don't know if I would be thinking as big as I am if it wasn't for John's inspiration and this idea of trying to think of big picture, not just settling for what I could do in my local community, which is important and was beautiful, but thinking in terms of the big level and what we've created with the Freedom Cell Network. So John, thank you for that inspiration. Guys, John's going to tell us all about how to opt out of the CBDC control grid. Please make some noise for John Bush.
Thanks, Derek. That means a lot coming from you. And it's just really special for me that my ideas, most of them aren't original. I just pick and choose from here and put a little humor in it. But it's really meaningful for me that my ideas have inspired other people that have done big and great things. And so I never lose sight of that. I just want to thank you, Derek, and thank every single person here for giving us your attention, because we are doing this for you guys and for the future generations to come. All right, well, let's start by thinking big. I want to share what I have come to learn is my purpose in life. My purpose is to create an environment where the free people of the world, including you and you and you and you, can exist in an environment with political autonomy, where we self-govern, where we're able to live our lives according to our own values, our own ends, our own principles, and we're able to enjoy things, and we're able to contemplate philosophy and frolic through the fields of daisies with our children and our little dog yapping at our ankles. That's what I'm all about. I like to think big. I like to push the envelope, and I like to project into the future to contemplate what type of world do we want to live in, what type of person do we want to be in the future, and then ask ourselves consciously, mindfully, in the present moment, are my actions, behaviors, and thoughts in alignment with that person that I want to be or that world I want to create? It's a wonderful exercise. Highly encourage you guys to do it. I do it all the time, and often it's like, whoa, that is not in alignment with where I'm going, but it's a check. It helps you to recognize when you need to shift your behavior. But the challenge is there's a lot of people in our movement and in the general public that have no destination. They haven't done the exercise, the thought experiment of projecting into the future. Like Derek said, like some presenters have said before, everybody's just focused on the present moment, which is good, of course. We want to be in the present moment, but we want to be in the present moment with a mind towards creating a better world and a better life for ourselves. And one of the big reasons why people are so focused on the present moment is because of all the struggle, right? People are struggling to make ends meet. People are struggling to pay bills. People can hardly think about how they're going to set their kids up for success because they are still putting together the money to pay next month's rent. And I don't like that. I've been in that situation, Lord knows, and I'll share a little bit more about it. But I think it's important for us to take control of our lives, to have a roadmap for our day-to-day actions, because when we don't have those plans, when we don't have those goals in place, it makes it much easier for us to get taken for a ride. I've used this analogy. I want each and every one of us to be a horse with blinders on. So we're like just laser focused on our goals. This brings up over here. There's graphene oxide in the vaccines. Ah! What else do we got? These doctors, COVID ones are suing each other and fighting over here on Twitter and blah, 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 blah. It's like, man, I ain't got time for that shit because I'm so laser focused on my goals, on creating a better life for myself, on setting my children up for success. I don't even bother with it. And I want the same for you. Let us do what we can to step out of the reactionary paradigm that so many of us find ourselves trapped into a space of proactivity. That is when we are consciously in control of not only our lives in the present moment, but it sets the stage for us to create an incredible world for ourselves in the future. And that is the work that we're doing here today with the Greater Reset. I'm going to talk to you today about central bank digital currencies. My buddy Brad's doing it. He's good, that Brad. Today, I'm going to talk about central bank digital currencies. And I honestly feel that my life has been leading up to this moment, up to the challenge. And as I shared before about Paul Wheaton, I don't see problems. I see solutions, even with my life and my business and my family. Let's face it, crap happens. What's more important than the crap that happens is how we respond to the crap. Okay. And so I have had a long and arduous life. There's been a lot of tumultuous times and a lot of struggle. And I feel like because I have adopted a mindset of anti-fragility, I leverage all of those weaknesses and all of those problems and all that adversity in order to improve my situation. You guys heard of this term anti-fragile? I want to use it as an opportunity to kind of set the stage for the work that we're going to do here tonight and the work that we're going to do here collectively. Someone that's anti-fragile, there's problems, there's risks, there's adversity, there's struggle. But rather than falling victim to that stuff, they leverage it to strengthen their resolve to learn. And so to set the stage with what I'm going to talk about today, the powers that wish they were have presented us with a gift. They intend to implement a central bank digital currency surveillance slavery system that would prohibit us from being able to trade freely amongst ourselves, that would greatly increase their ability to control us and manipulate us into doing things we don't want to do. They've given us a wonderful gift because I know for sure that it's going to light a fire under each and every one of y'all's asses in order to do what you need to do in order to opt out, which is what we should have been doing all the time, regardless of their agenda, because there's a better way to live. There's better systems to organize ourselves with. We can abandon the centralized, abandon the coercive, abandon the corrupt, and replace all of that with decentralized, voluntary, and transparent systems. I'm going to talk a bit about that today. To be honest, I don't even know why I have this sheet here. This is my speech. There's all this stuff bouncing around in my head. I'm like, oh, let me get that down. I'm like, no, you just always freestyle the whole thing. It ends up being cool that way anyway, so we're just going to freestyle with you. But I do have a framework that I want to present this talk in. And oh, by the way, here shortly, I'm going to make this huge announcement. How many of you guys are on my email list? Everybody should be, unless you already unsubscribed. I hadn't even hit you that hard just yet. Wait until tomorrow. How many of you are familiar with the Live Free Academy Empowerment Framework? Anybody lay out the four pieces for me? First is mindset. Second piece is, I need to do a better job with this. I take full responsibility. Second piece is strategy. Fourth piece, community. And the last piece, massive action. How many Live Free Academy members are in the room? Oh, I take responsibility. One thing I learned from Grant Cardone is that successful people take responsibility for everything that happens in and around their lives. Every single thing. When crap happens, like it may seem like a smooth, flawless production. I know that's y'all's experience at the Greater Reset. But we sure are putting that concept of anti-fragility to the test with this event. But every time, even if it's someone else that slips up, I ask myself, what have I done to contribute to that slipping? And what can I do in the future to avoid that slippage? I take responsibility. I encourage you guys to do that. Remember, successful people take responsibility for everything that happens in their lives. Successful people also don't think things happen to them. They think things happen for them. Because in every bit of adversity and struggle, there is so much more wisdom that can be gained from it. And when we can pull that out of the ether and implement it in our lives, we can improve ourselves. In fact, it's like wizardry. A while ago, I tapped into this where I just became so conscious and mindful of my thoughts that I was able to interrupt a negative thought pattern and just get it out of there. And it's really made quite the difference in my life. I'm actually going through a pretty difficult thing right now. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to let you into my personal life that too much, but it's extremely stressful, And I find myself being grateful for it because it's forcing me to do some big changes in my life that are going to benefit my family, my children immensely. And so if you could tap into that space, I promise you it's going to make a huge difference in the quality of the life that you enjoy. And if you're an activist, like I know each and every one of you are, root word action, that wisdom, that anti-fragile nature will help you in turn to create a better world for the future generations to come. So I wanted to lay out the Live Free Academy Empowerment. We're going to go on all sorts of side quests tonight with our time. So if you're like, I thought he was in the middle of making a point. Don't worry, 99 times out of 100, I'll wrap back right around and you'll think I was doing it on purpose. So the Live Free Academy Empowerment Framework, four parts: mindset, strategy, community, and massive action. I'm going to present the Live Free Academy Empowerment Framework in the context of what can we do to overcome the CBDCs. I've already shared a bit of the mindset piece, and there's a reason why it's first, because it's the most important by far, because I know that I can teach the skills, I can teach the strategies, I can teach you how to get from here to there, but more often than not, I believe the service that I'm providing to people that are in my audience, my clients, is helping them to shatter those limiting beliefs because we're our own worst enemy. For example, I could teach you how to set up a Bitcoin wallet, how to do it well. I could teach you real well, and I could break it down in very simple steps. But if your child logs onto your computer and screws stuff up and you're afraid of that happening again, so afraid that you won't even start, or if you feel insecure about your ability to do technology because you tell yourself you've never been good at technology, I can hardly even operate Zoom when you do those meetings, John, then you're the one that's standing in the way of your progress and your success. So I can only take you so far. You got to do the rest of the work. And that's why the mindset piece is so fundamental. It's so critical. It's so important. Oftentimes, I think that people don't act because of those insecurities. So, for example, when we encourage people to exit the cities, buy land, and build community in the country, there's folks that are struggling financially. And rather than face that, I don't have a lot of money right now. I can barely afford rent. How can I come up with a $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000 deposit to get a loan, a mortgage? Rather than get real with that problem and focus on the solution, they say, well, Klaus Schwab said we'll own nothing and be happy, so they're just going to take our land, right? It's a trick we play on ourselves. And I want to encourage you to become conscious and mindful of those tricks, so when they arise inside of you, you can kick them to the curb and clear the way. I teach my staff a lot. We're trying to close a sponsorship, and I'm like, so did you follow up with them? Did they respond? What'd they say? Well, I sent an email. They haven't responded. The folks that work with me know that really grinds my gears, because at the end of the day, email is cheap and it's really easy to ignore, which is why if you unsubscribe from my email list, you might just get a direct mail piece. But I teach my staff, look, this is the destination. This is the goal. This is the outcome that we're after. And if an obstacle is placed in between you and that goal, it's your job to figure out a way around it or over it or under it. Right? So did you call him? Did you get the number? On and on and on, right? And this is what we need to do in our lives, because at the end of the day, we got a lot of big work ahead of us. I like to talk about the work that we're doing in two different ways. One is a reaction to the problems we're facing. One is we really got to work hard, because the technology exists now where these clowns, these Klaus Schwabs, the Bill Gates, they can create a situation where it makes it impossible for the people to rise up. I've been studying this New World Order thing for 20 years now. And back in the day, it used to be, we really got to wake people up so they don't create this New World Order. It was some far off thing that, you know, we talked about, we speculated. We saw the police state and the surveillance state get built, and it's slowly getting bigger and bigger. But their dreams that they talk about in the Club of Rome and Committee of 300 and all these secret society roundtable groups, it seemed like some far-off thing that, hey, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. Fast forward to the COVID days, and now we find ourselves in a situation where it's like, wow, we're on the precipice of a literal prison planet, to borrow from old Mr. Jones. I want to thank Alex Jones. I actually caught his documentary, 9/11 Road to Tyranny, back in the day on cable access because he lives in Austin. I actually used to prank call his radio show. I was inspired by somebody that would prank call and say, Alex Jones, please. Alex Jones. I was like, ah, that's funny. This guy's crazy. Look how mad he is. Yeah, bro. And then a couple years go by, and I see one of these movies after 9/11 happened, because I was like, phew. Everyone's like, where were you on 9/11? Honestly, I used it as an opportunity to sleep in and not go to school. Didn't care. I'm not going in. And my mom's like, Mio, these planes crashed into buildings. I'm like, oh, what time is it? I'm already late for first period. You're probably not doing classes. It seems like a pretty big deal. Go back to sleep. And I saw this documentary. Really blew my mind and got me started on this path. But look, let's give it up for Alex Jones, right? Love him or hate him. He's gone off the deep end a few times here and there, but the dude was way ahead of the curve, and now it's pretty clear what he's been talking about for quite some time has come true. Were there boos out there? It's okay. It's not perfect, but you got to give credit where credit's due. I mean, come on. All right, so now I'm coming back. Two different ways to think about the world we live in. One is the reactive way, and I mean it. The digital ID system, along with vaccine passports, along with social credit scores, and the central bank digital currency, is this perfect system of enslavement and control. And it all was fast-tracked with COVID. And you know, that vax passport thing, early on in the COVID plandemic, cool, pull the YouTube feed up. We had a TikTok video that got taken down because I said plandemic, we suspect. Come on now. Shout out Mickey Willis, creating new words that stick around and get censored. So I realized early on in all this COVID stuff, even before the vaccine was released, thanks Donald Trump, he's going to save us all. He's still like the ego on that guy. He just can't let it go, even though people are literally dropping dead and dying suddenly. A literal drop dead situation. So I realized early on, like, this is basically just a big marketing campaign for the freaking shot. The whole pressure and fear and control and manipulation. And then when the vaccine passport system came out, it was like, oh, maybe that's the end game, right? Well, really, we learned about the end game blueprint for global enslavement. Have you seen that documentary? Back to Alex Jones. I came to realize in my history, my evolution of studying this world government, New World Order stuff, that really what they're after is creating an environment where the cycle of revolution stops and they stay in power, which has to do with why they're so hell-bent on reducing the number of the population, because it makes people easier to control when there's not so damn many of them. It's why they want to destroy the United States of America, because you can look at it multiple different ways. You can say it's all BS, American dream, blah, blah, blah. Or you can be grateful to exist in a situation where we can own firearms, where we can have a meeting like this, where many of us would get locked up and put in a gulag if we were on the other side of the planet, right? But what they're trying to do is end the revolutions. But what we're going to hit them with, which has been tried a few times in history, is the evolution. We're going to opt out. We're not going to try to take over their system. We're not going to storm the Capitol with our boy Ray Epps. No, we are going to create a better system so we don't become the very clowns that we're trying to toss out, right? This is the reactionary way. And I want to light a fire under your rear end, because if we don't step up our game, if we don't double our efforts, if we don't commit ourselves to the animated contest for freedom, our children or our children's children will find themselves in a world where they don't have the choice that we have right now. And I got to be honest, a lot of the stuff that we're proposing, this whole exit and build thing, it's not illegal. In fact, there's pretty much no risk involved at all. So I want everyone to step out of the fear space. That's another one of those things. Join the Freedom Cell Network. Then I'll be on a list. They'll come take us all away. Good luck taking away 35,000 of us, 36, 37,000 and counting, right? But here's what I say also. If we're all on the list, then the list is meaningless. I also see, that's right. Come on. Let's say some provocative. Get on the list. I'm on every list they got. I also say, just like with a gun, it's better to have one and not need it than to need it and not have it. It's better to be a part of the Freedom Cell Network and have a solid crew of 36,000 people that got your back and to not need them than for crap to really go down. And you're like, dang, I wish I would have joined the Freedom Cell Network, but I was too afraid. And that fear goes back to some sort of insecurity. What is it? I've never done well meeting other people, so therefore I'm not even going to try, but I'm going to make up some bullshit excuse in order to feel good about myself because I can't just face the ugly feeling whenever I got to do the work. We all should be focusing on the work. Circling back. That's the reactionary paradigm. The proactive paradigm, which is what we need to spend more of our time in, is crafting, creating, building a world that many people have never experienced. Coupling the technology, the permaculture, all of the above, the homeschooling, the intentional community piece, and building a world. I was going to say a world that's worth living, but this world sure is hell worth living in, huh? Give it up for all the beauty in the world, right? In spite of all the craziness, look at all these amazing people, meeting people. The kids are playing, running around. It's just great. So this world is worth living in. But I would like to experiment with all sorts of new cool stuff. And what I like to do, rather than focus on the fear and the stuff we don't want, which will only attract more of that into our lives, we focus on where it is that we want to go. And I want to go to a beautiful place where we've dealt with all this nonsense, where we've carved out a little piece of political autonomy, a little paradise on earth, and we're able to sit back and pontificate about the finer things in life. That's right. That's some good craft beer, huh? Ah, that's good Chibo, good Mota. There you go, Derek. To Mexico. All right, so that's the stage that I want to set. And at the end of the day, let us be pulled towards a better future and not focus so much on the negativity, on the fear, on what Klaus Schwab has to say. We are all perfectly capable of building the world that we desire. And who's to say that they have to have a monopoly on creating the future? Why do they get one? Right? Why can't we get one? After all, we outnumber them. So let's focus on the world that we want to build. Let's identify particular areas in our lives that we are feeling weak on or that we're strong on. If we have some weaknesses, some gaps in our freedom game, let's build that up. Let's find people that are stronger in those areas. And if we have strengths in a particular area, let's go help those that are struggling to figure stuff out. Mindset, mindset, mindset. Now, before I go on, I just want to share why I believe I was kind of just like, my whole life has been coming to this. I've been into alternative currencies for quite some time. I learned about the Federal Reserve from old Ron Paul. Give it up for Ron Paul. Yeah. It's the Constitution. So I was all about Ron Paul 2008. But in between 2008 and 2012, I learned about Samuel Edward Konkin and agorism. I was like, I'm not getting into that trap again. And I realized like this is actually a massive data aggregation campaign so they can put Senator Rand Paul in the U.S. Senate. That's what it was, really, if you want to know. Of course, it woke people up and got people excited. But anyway, I learned about the Federal Reserve and Austrian economics from Ron Paul. And as I was studying it, it was just such a challenge to wrap my head around. You mean the money is debt? What does that even mean? What money? I thought money was like, had value and we buy stuff with it. It's debt? Like, if I had a credit card, what's that? They can create it out of thin air? How do they even do that? They can lend out 10 times what they have on their deposits? Money's created when you take out a loan? What the hell? And I remember trying to wrap my head around it. I was just like, it just doesn't make sense. So why go through the brain struggle to try to figure it out? And I always remind my wife of that, too. She's like, how could they possibly do that? People in our personal life or a little drama that we're dealing with. Don't they know, Bob? How could they possibly do that? I was like, does it make sense? They're crazy. Okay. But anyway, I started learning about the Fed, and I was like, okay, this is a problem. And Ron Paul's like, let's audit the Fed. Let's pass a piece of legislation in the very halls of Congress that started the Fed. Right? There was some treachery. There was some deception. You know, back in the Ron Paul days, I got shunned for being a 9/11 truther. And they're like, you better put your suit on. We're trying to bring the Republican Party back to its roots. That was part of the slogan for the 2008 campaign and the rally for the Republic up in Minnesota, a big celebration. Bring the Republican Party back to its roots. I'm like, what the hell? What roots are that, right? It's better than the Democratic Party's roots, owning human beings. Now both parties own and control human beings. And so I was like, that's not me. I came into this world because I saw a documentary by Alex Jones on 9/11. I got the documents right here. And so I'm like, we're all talking about the Department of Homeland Security. I was around for the Department of Homeland Security getting created. I was, quote unquote, awake. It's all varying degrees of awake. You never really wake up until you reach nirvana or something like that. So let's go sit underneath the Bodhi tree out there. And I saw them create the Department of Homeland Security. I remember the John Warner Defense Authorization Act that gave the federal government the authority to indefinitely detain human beings. And I'm like, guys, we're talking about what came out of 9/11. Everybody's in fear. Everybody's willingly giving up their rights. We're getting patted down after this stupid underwear bomber that was led onto the freaking plane by some State Department official. And we can't talk about 9/11. Are you freaking kidding me? So I always figured out a way to work it in. But anyway, that was a realization. Another lesson I came up with that. If they're going to be turned off by me questioning the official story of 9/11 with hard-hitting facts, I don't want to be in their crew anyway. I want the people that are like, dang, you really think that happened? Let's look deeper. Not the people that cower from it because they're trying to win favor with the freaking local political party. But nonetheless, I learned about the Federal Reserve. I started doing politics. I tried to reform the Republican Party. I got escorted out of the Texas Republican Party convention floor because I was marching up and down the hallway with the End the Fed sign. I get the hell out of here. Yeah. Get him. And we started doing politics because the Ron Paul campaign ended. And we're like, oh, my God, there's 1,000 libertarian people. Now, most of them are like constitutional conservatives and liberty light, I should say. And then some of them were like a lot of folks in the Libertarian Party. Let me take a quick jab at the Libertarian Party. I think the Libertarian Party is mostly comprised of people that couldn't cut it in the Republican Party and couldn't get anywhere. So they're like, I can run for office. Sorry if you're in the Libertarian Party. Exit and build. Let's go. So I did the political thing. And like I said before, I came to realize that while we were achieving what seemed as victories, they were really empty victories. We were simply slowing the growth of tyranny, not creating real freedom. I discovered Samuel Edward Konkin, and this whole end the Fed thing was going on. Out of the Fed. And I was like, you know what? Like Derek said, if we want to end the Fed, we should limit our use of Federal Reserve notes and help to proliferate alternative currencies. So me and the ex-wife, we would go to the farmers markets with silver dimes, and we would ask all the farmers market vendors, hey, would you guys consider accepting silver dimes in exchange for your veggies? It mustn't be like, silver dimes? Why would I have silver dimes? Only 10 cents. This is $12.50 for this head of lettuce. That's the Austin farmers market. You know, the Austin farmers market outdoors, they had made you wear a mask, right? Ah, give me a break. That's why we're going to do our own farmers market here in Bastrop, right? Exit and build. And so we came across occasionally some folks that are like, oh yeah, silver dimes, anything we can do to upend those jerks in the Federal Reserve Bank. We're like, dang, there's our people. I remember the farmer's name, Piura Finca Vida, which is like, I don't know, maybe a translation on something good life, something like the pure life. So we were already on that wavelength even before I learned about Bitcoin. And I remember when I was pregnant with my daughter, because the fathers are along for the journey, right? There's some sympathy pregnancy pains there. Get them off stage. It's a woke agenda. Bastrop County Democratic Party. Before my daughter was born, I was already telling my parents, guys, well, I'm not going to give them a social security number. She's not going to do it because even back then, I was focused on what can I do right now to set the stage so my children can experience freedom than I ever thought possible. And even though it's hard and it's a challenge, and I hadn't been able to claim them for a deduction tax credit on my income tax, I knew that I exist in order to create a good situation for them. So maybe they carry on my work, maybe not. I don't care. I love them to death, and I don't want them to give away 20, 30, 40% of their value to the very institution that we oppose so much. My dad said, you know, John, whenever they come of age, they're not going to be able to get a bank account. What are you going to do about that? And this is before I learned about Bitcoin. I said, you know, Dad, I'm pretty confident that the free people of this world, by the time they come of age where they need a bank account, they're going to have created some kind of alternative currency that a ton of people are using. A year or so later, I learned about Bitcoin. I was like, boom, there it is. Right? But here's the challenge. And let me relay this back to central bank digital currencies.
Hope you don't mind, Derek. I'm going to go a little bit over my time.
I'm keeping track of the clock, though. We won't keep you here till 9 o'clock. Maybe 8:30. Early on, I learned, here's another lesson. You guys, you should be, so I know you guys are conscious and mindful, but the whole meditation thing, I really need to meditate. In fact, when I learned about the concept of mindfulness through Buddhism, right? I studied Buddhism because I was a jerk to my kids and because my marriage was falling apart. Look, there's my daughter. She's like, that's to put it lightly, Dad. She's all preteen diva'd out and stuff. I started studying Buddhism because, like, man, I'm a freaking mess. I really don't like the way I feel when I raise my voice to my kids and they cry. It's really hard for me. I don't want that for them. I don't want that for me. And so I learned the concept of mindfulness, and I was like, oh, my God. Being present in the moment, free of judgment and analysis. You're just there. And it really clicked for me. And so maybe it was the ego or arrogance. I'm like, I don't even need to meditate. I figured this mindfulness thing out. In fact, I figured it out so well, I struggled to sleep. And last night, the night before, and the night before that, I didn't actually doze off until probably 2 or 3 a.m. And that's how a lot of nights are for me. So it's a blessing and a curse to have a mind that just fires and fires and fires and fires. But the point is, I should probably practice meditation because I know it would benefit me in that way. And it would greatly improve my fatherhood, me being a husband to my lovely wife and the work that I do in this world. So shout out Miriam because she's been hosting these Freedom Cell meditations and there's nothing more important. But I want to encourage you, speaking of mindful of this, not that buzz. Quick tip for mindfulness. If you find yourself wandering, just become mindful of the wandering and bring it back. Okay? So those of us that are conscious and mindful, we can really do incredible, wonderful things, and we can find those nuggets. I thought I was going to lose that train of thought, but I found it because I'm a master of mindfulness. where to go? Give me some credit. When you become conscious and mindful, you can always find lessons in life. And yes, I'm going to bring it back to the actual lesson before we went on that side quest. Back in 2011, this guy named Ethan Lee Vita, who was an agorist, a living agorist, he was like, hey, John, have you heard about this Bitcoin thing? It's this alternative digital currency. It's not really that big right now. It's mostly popular with like computer geeks and a lot of our little libertarian anarchist circles. Well, you can actually mine it. It's how you verify transactions. You can mine it on your laptop. Would you like me to set it up for you on your laptop so you can potentially generate 50 Bitcoin every 10 minutes? It's like $100,000. Boom, you could just crank those out all day because there's a lot of 10 minutes in 24 hours. And you know what I said? You know, I'd really like to research it first before I get involved. Sounds kind of weird. So what's the lesson? And I wasn't as conscious then as I am now. And in 2, 5, 10 years, I'll be saying I wasn't as conscious then as I am now. And then in 20 years, I'll be saying I wasn't as conscious then as I am now. And then in 20 years, when we're in the FEMA camp, no. They don't even need a FEMA camp anymore. It's just going to be a digital prison that we all opt into. Not us, but that people opt into. Isn't that crazy? There's like FEMA camps, the 10 FEMA regional zones. The lesson was, let us always have at least a little bit of mental capacity and not be so damned overwhelmed that when opportunity comes a knocking, we can open the damn door. Okay? That's a writer downer right there. Always have at least a little bit of mental space and time to lean in on an opportunity, because I didn't, right? Nonetheless, fast forward. Kids still don't have social security numbers. We've built this incredible network of 36,000 people. Bitcoin is alive and well and thriving. It's perfectly a possibility to exist without ever needing a bank account. Derek Brose and his lovely partner, Miriam, are doing it right now. And by the time my kids come of age, I am absolutely confident they'll be able to exist outside the system. And the federal government can kiss my ass. All right. Okay, so that's the world I lived in. That's the world I grew up with. I believe that the stage has been set for me to do some cool stuff when it comes to pushing back on the CBDCs. I learned about Bitcoin, learned about cryptocurrency, extremely resonated with me. I was so hopeful and optimistic and naive that I thought Bitcoin was going to end the Fed. I underestimated them because now they're leveraging digital currency. They're not going anywhere. Rather, they're becoming stronger and more powerful. So, what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do? All right, we've talked a lot about mindset. Let's talk about some strategy now. Okay. Here's how we can overcome the central bank digital currency system. Here's how we can create an environment where we're not subjected to the whims of these clowns who we don't know, who we can hardly relate to, that have so much influence and power over our lives. This whole stupid egg thing now. I think we got chickens. If you have peace, we'll be able to check them out. Thanks, Brad. Give it up for Nomad Brad, ladies and gentlemen. Rocking the camera. I just want to say I feel absolutely blessed to have such a wonderful crew of people around me that helps so much. And everybody often gives me credit because I'm the face of the whole deal. But I would be nothing were it not for my wife, my kids, my crew, the volunteers, Brad, Ryan, all the people that make what we're doing possible. I am so grateful to have them in my corner.
Yeah.
Okay, so the strategy. Central bank digital currency is coming. What are we going to do about it? This is what happens when you give John 45 minutes to talk. He just blah, blah, blah.
Not my speech here. Let's just ignore it and go around a bunch of circles. Maybe someday we'll get to the point.
All right, here's what we're going to do about it. I have been brewing on this. And I've been aware of this central bank digital currency thing for quite some time. In fact, the very first time I heard the concept was on NPR, National Propaganda Radio. One time I was talking to this liberal Democrat guy, and they were like, yeah, I heard on NPR. I was like, oh, yeah, it's propaganda, you know? And he's like, no, it's not. It's not like Fox News. And I was like, it's the exact same thing as Fox News, except they got you under a spell instead of the Republicans being under a spell. Give me a break. I knew NPR was propaganda when I heard this poll back when the whole Syria thing was going on. It's like, we polled our listeners. Hi, this is Terry Gross. Ah, life is just so pleasant when we're governed by our inferiors. Don't you just love it? We conducted a poll of our listeners asking them, do you think it's a better idea for Barack Obama to go into Syria with ground forces or for Barack Obama to do an air campaign? Those are the only choices you're going to give me here? Okay, I see what's going on here. But I heard this NPR story, and it basically went like this. First time I hear about CBDCs. Can you imagine the convenience of sending your children off to college, not having to worry about them spending their tuition money or their rent money on beer and partying with their friends? Central bank digital currencies give us the ability to ensure that the money you give them is only spent on books, tuition, and food. Isn't that great? How convenient is that? Here's another thing. We're all like, oh, the normies are going to just accept everything because it's convenient. Let us become conscious of when we give up our privacy and freedom for convenience, because God knows I am somebody that does that all the time. It's why I've resisted the above phone. Because I'm like, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm going at the speed of light. I can't stop to figure something out. And then my wife gets one who's not very tech savvy. She's at the house setting up for the VIP dinner. So I'm going to slip that in there. She knows it. And she figured it out pretty well. So shout out Ramiro Romani's above phone. But I'm a victim of that too. But I'm mindful. At least I'm aware of it. Let us at least become aware of our shortcomings so we can hope to work on them and come up with a plan to figure that stuff out. But this central bank digital currency thing is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, but when. So I've been thinking real hard about what we can do. And I feel very confident that I'm surrounded by a group of really incredible, powerful people that are empowered, that believe in themselves. Do you believe in yourself? How strongly do you believe in yourself? Come on, let me hear it. Yes. Because in all honesty, that is all we need to succeed. We need to believe in ourselves and we need to believe in each other. Because they've been putting all these limiters. You know, when you're driving, me and my buddies used to get all drunk and smoke blunts and listen to Houston rap.
Shout out Houston.
And I remember my buddy had a Yukon, big green Yukon that was all banged up. And you'd go down loop one, also known as Mopac in Austin, smoking a blunt, drunk, listening to rap music. I don't know how we survived. Gah. I never got arrested. My friend that was driving the car did get arrested, not in that instance. And you know how you're driving, and then you can't go further than 100? Drunk, stoned on weed? It's because there's a governor that limits the acceleration. I want you guys to recognize the governors in your minds and take them off so we can reach heights in our lives that we never thought possible, because we're all capable of achieving so much more than we are. And I feel confident that we're going to do that individually and collectively, because you all just told me that you believe in yourselves. Don't let it be just something. We're all hyped up because we're around all the freedom people. Take it home with you. Believe in your ability to do great things. Believe in your ability to overcome your limiting beliefs. Believe in your ability to crash through the fear and create greatness in your life, because it's critical, and the future generations that are yet to come are depending on us doing just that. Woo. All right, so I've been thinking, what do we do? What do we do? I got the crew, but what are we going to do? What's the strategy? So I put something together. I want to invite you to participate. I'm going to cue up Rebecca C., to play the video, and then I'll tell you a little bit more what it's all about. Let's see that little video there.
Central bank digital currencies are on the way. It's not a matter of if, but when. The only question that remains is, will you sit idly by while the CBDC system is erected all around you, or will you do everything in your power to opt out? I'm John Bush, and I've made it my life's work to help people just like you create real freedom in their lives. Now, generally, I'm an optimistic guy, but the CBDCs have me very concerned. But I got good news for you. February 6th through the 10th, I'm hosting the free CBDC opt-out challenge. I'll be joined by special guests, Derek Bros, Jack Spierko, and others.
And get this, we just added a couple more speakers to the lineup. We're going to be joined by James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. and Richard Grove of Autonomy.
We'll provide you with concrete action items and strategies so you can opt out. So head on over to CBDCoptout.com and sign up for free today. The more of us that participate, the more successful we'll be. So go to CBDCoptout.com and together we'll opt out of the CBDCs.
Boom! All right. Here's what we're going to do. Each and every one of you are going to join me, everybody watching online, everybody in Mexico, and everybody on my email list, and all the email lists we can join together with all these really cool people that are doing big, major things in this world. We're going to join together January 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. Every day at 11 a.m., we're going to go live. We're going to join together February 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. And we are going to work together to opt out of the CBDC paradigm. We're going to go live 5 days in a row, 11 a.m. Central. It's completely free to sign up. There's no secret. There's no trick. There's no gimmick. That's the challenge about giving away things for free. You got it. People are like, yeah, right. You're giving me a free ounce of kratom. All I got to do is pay shipping and handling, especially this audience. Because we got trust issues. It's a great marketing tip. This audience has very, very, very major trust issues. So you got to go above and beyond to earn that trust. And the best thing you could do is be somebody that acts in integrity and is in alignment with their word. I hope I've done that. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going live. On day one, we're going to set the stage. We're going to talk about the mindful piece. I'm going to break people down. I'm going to say, look, guys, they don't have control over your future. We have every bit of capability to create a better world. We're not going to just abrogate that to Klaus Schwab and these clowns in Davos. We are going to be in the driver's seat of our lives. Then we're going to bring on James Corbett. James Corbett's going to present the ins and outs of the central bank digital currency system, and he's going to show us the vulnerabilities that we can exploit to carve out our little piece of monetary sovereignty. Then on the second day, I'm going to be joined by Jack Spierko. Jack's a jack of all trades, pun intended. So I can talk about this, this, that, that, and the other. But the reason why I invited Jack is because he's a really good teacher. What did he say? He takes complex stuff and gives you the redneck explanation of it. So me and Jack are going to hold your hand and help you to set up a Bitcoin wallet. So that's what I've been doing for the past several years. You know, I made a ton of people rich by advising them to get Bitcoin way early on. In fact, I've been telling people to get a whole Bitcoin. So you got to get to the left of the decimal point. It's a whole Bitcoin before it's too expensive. This is when Bitcoin was $600. You got to get to the left of the decimal point because it's going to get harder and harder to get a whole one. You got to get one. Bitcoin's $10,000. I'm telling you, start piecing it together. Get yourself a $500 worth, a tenth here, a fifth there, whatever. Go, go, go. It was 20,000, 30,000. Kept saying the same damn thing. And by golly, now it's like 22,000, 21,000. A lot of people think it's out of reach because they don't know you can buy $200 worth, you can buy $5 worth. You can buy $5 worth every day. You can buy $100 worth on the 15th of every month. Teach you how to do that. We're going to hold your hand because I want to reach as many people as possible with this. And I know that, first of all, people have those limiting beliefs. They're not very good with technology. And they're like, they're not good with technology. So how many excuses can I come up with not to get started? They're going to shut the internet down. It's going to be hacked. How many years have to go by without Bitcoin being hacked and shut down before you got to let that one go? It's been like 11, 12, 20, 30. They're going to shut it down. They're going to make it illegal. Yeah, well, it's been around for 40 years now. Come on, give me a break. That was my old man voice. My old Texas yippy-skippy voice. Yeehaw. Another side quest. All right, so we are going to hold your hand and show you how to set up a Bitcoin wallet. I'm a big fan of Bitcoin. It's the first cryptocurrency. It's the only one I would encourage people to invest in. Did he just give investment advice? Yes, I did. But we're not only going to teach you how to use Bitcoin, we're going to teach you how to use Monero, also known as XMR, because Monero is a privacy crypto that obscures the transactions. There's no way for Sally Mae, Freddie Mac, there's no way for the IRS, the Department of Justice, all these bozos and three-letter agencies, they are none the wiser if you send this to this guy and they can't know who sent whom, what to whom, blah, 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 blah. We're going to teach you how to use it. We're teaching in a very slow, methodical way. It's a five-day challenge. There's going to be time for you to figure it out. Then on Wednesday, we're bringing on the one, the only, Derek Brose, and we are going to make sure you're onboarded to the Freedom Cell Network and you know how to make the most out of the community that we've built. Then after that, I'm going to be joined by Rebecca Bush. Rebecca Bush will be joining us and teaching us about getting out of the city, because I strongly believe that the smart city agenda is a big piece of the digital ID, the Panopticon Society, the 5G interconnectivity, Internet of Things nonsense. So if you really want to experience freedom, you got to get out in the country. But also on that day, we're going to talk about counter economics. Now that we've got our Bitcoin and crypto wallets, we're going to talk a little about alternative currencies too, barter, trade, whatever. Not a big fan of the whole time bank concept, but if that's what you want to do, the important thing is to limit your use of FRNs, to create the relationships and the trade networks now preemptively, so you're not scrambling to catch up when they say you can only buy this with this and you can't even use the system if you're not vaccinated. It's what's coming, folks. I studied their strategy and the way that they push people to do things they don't want to do. They make life difficult for you. They squeeze and squeeze and squeeze until you finally say, "Uncle, give me the damn shot." There's so many people. I watched it go through my family. My dad held out so strongly under the pressure from my family until my uncle died of COVID, with COVID. I don't know, but he died. And that's finally when the pressure became too strong. My dad gave in. Sorry if they're watching. I'm like sharing their medical stuff. Isn't it weird that everybody talks about everybody's medical stuff now? Just thought of that right now. Quick story. Derek went 10 minutes over, so my time would end at 5:10. I'll try to keep it right towards around there. This is a quick lesson. I shared it before when the stream went down earlier. before my uncle died, he and my dad got in a real big fight. And it was over masks. Because my uncle back in the day, I used to argue with him because he was a George Bush W04 fan. He had a W04 bumper sticker. And then he went like extreme 9/11 truth. Now he has an Infowars.com bumper sticker. Still on the truck. Even though he's passed, it's still on the truck. But he like went pretty extreme with this whole freedom thing. And he believed that the virus wasn't real. It was all made up. So when he caught the virus, oh wait, I guess viruses aren't real either. I don't know. I don't know where I stand on that one, but at the end of the day, it doesn't affect me very much because I'm focused on exiting the building. My two cents on that debate. I think it would have collapsed his worldview if he would have realized that maybe he was sick with COVID. So he stayed at home. He didn't go to the doctor, and he only ended up in the hospital when he was taken from an ambulance. And I remember having these strange mixed feelings because he was so aggressive towards my father that I had a really bad taste in my mouth towards the guy. And that was the last of our relationship because of this stupid fight over masks. I want to remind you that there's more important things than being right. There's more important things than forcing your views upon your family members. What's most important is that heart-to-heart human connection. Let's not lose sight of that because I did, my uncle did, and I don't get that opportunity to come back to a good place with him. All right. Was a side quest if I ever heard one. All right, on the fourth day, that's going to be in the middle of my little promotional thing that we spread out to the world. But that's good because people need to hear it. The fourth day, we're going to learn about counter economics, and we've been onboarded into the Bitcoin space. We joined the Freedom Cell Network, and now we're going to take the time to proactively build out those relationships, create those economic connections. Whenever we need the plumbing problem to be solved, we're not going to go to Joe Plumber in the yellow pages. We're going to go to the black and yellow pages. Those are the anarcho-capitalist colors. The black and yellow page. It would have killed if you guys knew what it was. We're going to go to the black and yellow pages, and we're going to go to the Freedom Cell Network directory. We got an Agris directory build. We're going to go to the other directories, whatever. The point is, we all need to be taking proactive steps right now to engage in financial transactions and commerce with people within our own community, people that we know are going to buck the system and say no to the CBDC thing. We don't want to be playing catch up, learning to use a Bitcoin wallet or going to scramble to find Eastern medicine doctor or whatever that can do business with us without the CBDCs, right? On the fifth day, we're going to be joined by Richard Grove. He's a total genius when it comes to goal setting and strategic plans and all that stuff. He's going to help us tie it all together. Now, get this. It's my intention to get, let's just go big. I want to get 100,000 people to register for this thing. Because you know what I learned? When you have a free thing, you have 100,000 people sign up, only about 20% of them show up. Here's the thing about money, too. You know, in this community here, a lot of people are like, how could you charge for something like that if you really care about the cause? To which I reply, what do you do for a living, and do you give it away for free? But here's the deal. Here's something I learned. Those that pay attention. Case in point, Exit and Build Land Summit 1. We got 28,000 people to sign up for that. When it came time for the live stream, it was about 1,000 people watching. Do the math, 1/28th. I don't know what the percentage of. The people that paid $127 for the virtual immersion pass, about 40% of them showed up. Those that pay attention. It's an investment in yourself. You're going to be more committed if you throw some money in and put some skin in the game. All right. My goal, because these challenges, there's like health challenges and marketing and business challenges. There's always a community, an online community. So you sign up. We invite you to a community. We drop tasks. We take pictures of the progress we're making. We all become brothers and sisters and connected around this common goal of opting out of the CBDC thing. So I was like, well, I'm not going to put the community on Facebook. That's what everybody does. Telegram could be cool, but it's kind of a pain in the ass. It gets lost in the fray. It's like, bing, bing, notification, notification. See Travis in the back. He'll help you sort that stuff out. So the community online platform that we're going to use for the challenge is freedomcells.org. So it's my full intention to get at least 25,000 people to register. Again, maybe 100,000, and a good chunk of those guys are going to sign up for the Freedom Cell website. So we're killing two birds with one agorist stone. And I'm really excited about that. So it's my intention to hit the 37,000, just boom, 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 boom. It's going to be a thing of the past, all right? That's really what it's all about. It's something that I believe is going to be very impactful. It's something that I believe will play a major role in circumventing that agenda. Remember the digital ID, the vaccine passport, the social credit system, and then controlling the money. Money is so important whether you like it or not. It's the life force of an economy. It enables you to do things that you want to do. It helps you to fulfill your wants and needs. And I got to tell you, I'm sick and tired of being part of this whimsical system that's constantly up and down, that's stealing wealth, stealing value, stealing time and energy from people and using it to fund stupid wars in Europe, stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with us. I'm over it. I am so over it. I don't want it for myself. I don't want it for future generations. We have to do the work today in the present moment so we can completely abandon that slave system. And to tie it all back to what I've shared before, I am grateful for Klaus Schwab. I'm grateful for the Federal Reserve Chairman. I'm grateful for the diabolical, scheming, megalomaniac SOBs that have brought us here today to have this conversation, because without them, we would be sitting around twiddling our thumbs and we wouldn't be opting out of the CBD system. So I hope you join me February 6th through the 10th. You can go to cbdcoptout.com and sign up for free today. Thank you very much.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a five-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating five focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4. Co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.